Hello.
Hello.
My name's Simon.
My name's Jan.
That's okay. All covered then.
Use the same joke twice.
It's a good joke. I like it.
Welcome to episode 001. Today we're going to talk about match day 5 in the Europa League. Hertha BSC at Athletic Bilbao.
Yes.
You go ahead. You read the rest.
I'm not gonna read anything else.
Match day 13 had Erster FC Köln had the BST. Then we have had the BST match day 14 against Eintracht Frankfurt, and we're gonna mention in passing Lok Leipzig at Hertha BST 2. Simon, where were you on November 23rd?
I was in Bilbao.
Why?
Why? Rumour has it there was going to be a Hertha match there.
There was one, but it only lasted one half-time.
Oh, it was a very good half-time, though. Yeah. So a whole bunch of us went down from Berlin to go and watch the last away game in our...
Five members and, yeah. And Henry.
And Henry, yes.
Good. Hello, up. Sir Henry.
Hello, Henry. Yeah, and... yeah, we flew down by various different routes. Well, actually, we didn't all fly, did we? Because there was a group that drove down as well. So
the nutters.
Yeah, they're completely mad. But hey, they seem to enjoy it all. So yeah, that was good.
They got home by Sunday or Sunday morning?
Yeah, it was about 6 o'clock or so, something okay, like that.
The game was on Thursday, so you all flew home on Friday? I think they came...
I came back on Friday, yeah.
So I think they came back...
Perhaps it was Saturday morning then.
Still.
It was a long drive anyway.
20-something hours.
Yeah, that's
dedication.
It is indeed. So the rest of us, the sensible people, all flew down by various different routes. A lot of people came via London, curiously. People flew from Berlin to London, then from London down to Bilbao. But it was nice that a bunch of people... that knew each other were all sort of turning up there.
So what can you tell us about the stadium, the people, the food?
Well...
The weather was kind of nice,
the weather
it?
Was really nice, yes. Yeah, sort of arriving there and about... what time? About 10:30 or so at night, it was still 22 degrees, which was...
I can't hear you.
Absolutely glorious. You know, bear in mind, it's flipping freezing out there today in Berlin, but... I mean, the weather was absolutely glorious. We found a nice little bar to meet up in. Had remarkably cheap and quite potable red wine for €1.75, which I approved of heartily. It had local cider as well, which was quite nice to test out, being a bit of a cider fan on the whole. But the atmosphere in the town was really, really nice and really, really sort of positive.
Did you make it to the
game?
No,
we never made it to the game.
The town walk with the Basque fans.
Yeah, that was. At one point there was a plan to go on a walk with some local fans, but I ducked out on that one.
Speak German.
Yes, I ducked out on that one. But hey, I had a good old wander around Bilbao. I had a look at the old town. Which was really cool. In the afternoon, somebody else appeared. Turned up from Berlin, and we had a bit of a wander around before going to the meeting point in the middle of Bilbao. There was a pre-arranged meeting point for the Hertha fans to have a fan march.
Oh, at this one fountain, something?
Yeah, there was a sort of like a central roundabout. With a little park in the middle of the roundabout, and all the Hertha fans sort of gathered in that point and walked to the stadium, you know, singing, chanting, normal kind of drill, really. It's a really nice kind of atmosphere, though. It was really sort of positive. There wasn't sort of, from the sort of middle back of the march where we were, there was a good kind of atmosphere, which was nice to see.
If you compare it to the the fan march last season?
At the beginning of this season, I think it was. The last one that I went on to.
The one against Leverkusen.
Yeah, it was the beginning of this.
In May. The last
was that
match
the
day.
Last one, wasn't it?
Last match day, the glorious match day, which no one can remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, actually, thinking about it, that match, no, it wasn't good. But it was a different kind of feel to that, because there were lots of pyros going off in that one.
Which one?
The one in Berlin, okay. But not in Bilbao, not at all.
People were scared, and rightfully so.
Yes, yes. It's wise to be wary, but... It was a good way to get to the stadium. One funny bit, during the march, there were some Hertha fans that hadn't joined the march, but they were in a balcony above the road. And they were shouting out, ha, ho, he, from the balcony above. And then the people in the march down below, Hertha BSC! And it was going backwards and forwards, like it does in the stadium, which was quite cool. And that was just before we reached the stadium.
Good. Did you post pictures somewhere? Where did you post the
pictures? Yeah, this stuff on YouTube, from both the march and the support during the game.
What did you post? You posted it on Insta?
I put a little bit on Instagram, but I also put it on YouTube under Econet 1892.
Which handle did you use?
Econet 1892
on Instagram. Did you put something on the MTF podcast?
I from the march, I really can't remember. Probably.
Must have been good cider then.
Yes, it was very good cider, yeah. I can't remember much about anything, really.
But Nico posted a lot too at Axel Kruse Jugend on Instagram. Ooh. Okay, so you had fun in the beginning and then you entered the stadium and...
Yeah, entered the stadium and whoopie dandy. There was a load of Hertha fans there in the away section, all fairly well sort of netted in to stop anything sort of flying out onto the pitch. But the atmosphere was really, really good. Constant singing. constant singing, chanting and what have you. It was absolutely superb. First half was...
glorious.
Pretty good from us, really. We sort of had pretty good control of it all. It was about half an hour or so in. I think it was a cross from Maxi...
Mittelstädt,
I think, yes. Coming through to Lecky, who definitely scored to get the first goal.
Hang on. Bilbao game, Athletic Bilbao, 30,000.
I think it was...
Mittelstädt for Lecky.
Yeah.
And the header to the...
There you go. And then something pretty grim happened.
But that game, I mean, that goal looked like... Why didn't the keeper have it? It was right... It was almost right at him, and it wasn't in the corner or anything.
No, it was a bit sort of, it's like an invisible ball or something, I don't know. But hey, I'm not going to complain.
Invisible ball.
Sorry.
Jan's now looking at, he's ripping my notes up.
Rubbish.
Invisible balls don't exist.
I'm just taking down the chapter marks. Somebody has to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's because I'm lazy, you see. So.
Okay, so first half, Hertha was up 1-0. When
Langkamp did something silly. Which is...
But that actually was the one where I thought, okay, that's a could-be penalty, not a must-be penalty. Okay, the way he goes to the ball or tries to get the ball is not very clever. But I think it's a 50-50 chance.
You know, of...
Well, when it comes down to it, it was given, so... And yet
another such penalty... Such a know-it-all.
Another penalty conceded by Hertha this season was a little bit depressing.
That's a stat we have to look up for episode number two.
It feels like almost every game is a penalty, but...
It will take some time to, to generate all the data.
So... then it was 1-1, so...
but what happened then?
But!
We didn't even have time to complain.
Sorry?
We didn't even have time to complain.
Yeah. And then, 10 minutes or so later?
No. It was right after. I think it was... Oh, no, you mean the penalty. You have the penalty, and what happened then?
What happened? What did happen then?
You talked about 10 minutes. What's the 10 minutes for?
Well, about 10 minutes later, then
what?
Hertha scored again.
No, it was a minute or 2 minutes after the penalty. I'm pretty sure.
No.
No. Computer says no.
Computer definitely says no.
Oh.
Yeah, in a funny 5 minutes here.
Oh, like the last time when I was so certain about the goal.
Yeah, and you were wrong, and I think you're wrong again. You have no faith, Jan. That's your trouble.
I have too much faith. Oh, please, people.
It's just not in me, that's all.
Oh, that's not right. Match center, hang on.
Cut.
No cutting. We're going through with this. Okay, I have no clue what these thingies mean. Here's the goal. 25th. Penalty, 34th. Goal,
38th.
35th. Ha!
Well.
Let the record show. No, it was right after because I remember I was upset. And then before I could complain, Esther was like, another goal!
Yeah. The only reason I hit down is what, actually 4 minutes later. But that was from something on YouTube. Because at the time, in the stadium, I wouldn't have had a clue how long it was, to be honest. Because there was lots of jumping up and down and singing and shouting going on. But
the one question I have, did you drink cider or did you drink absinthe? If your time continuum lasts. Okay.
You're just tied up with what's going on at the time. Yeah. I got my timings from looking at a YouTube video from a Spanish feed, but hey, whatever. Anyway, so Salca scored with a header.
From?
About the 38th minute.
35th?
38th. Whatever.
I think the assist should have gone to Kraft, though.
Because that was like, he hoofed it up.
He hoofed it all the way up to the, I don't know, 20 meters out.
Yeah.
And then somehow, somebody, I think it was Ibišević probably, headed it all.
I can't remember that.
Some guy headed the ball and then it came to the, what do you call it, to the wing?
Yeah.
To Zelke, not Zelke, but Lazaro, and he just crossed it in. And yeah. Zelke just, I think the way Zelke scores is just so...
Sweet.
No, not sweet, but yeah, sweet too, but it's more like, of course I'm scoring. What else would I do?
Yes, it's only natural. What else?
Exactly.
And then it was half-time.
Half-time.
Everybody's very happy.
Everybody.
Had a chance to, well, perhaps the locals weren't, but we were happy. Took a chance to sit down because I'm an old man and I was getting all this jumping around, I was getting tired.
Speaking of which, I need more coffee. But then, alas,
the second half, it was like it's a cliche to say it's a game of two halves, but it really was. It was totally different the second half, and they had the better of us, really. What can I say? And then, old Sebastian.
Blanca?
Did again, yes. Yet another penalty to make it 2-2, which is a little bit depressing.
2-2 to lose.
Yes, indeed. To be fair, Kraft got a good hand to it. But
He had it in his hands.
But it wasn't to be. Then after 88 minutes, it was all over, really. Wonderful atmosphere, though.
But
really, 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 really enjoyed it.
I'm not sure if people listening to this have had the chance listening to our second 0-0-0 episode. But you said that, I just remember that you said that, you saying that Weiser did not exactly do his job?
No. Yeah, he was
back on defense.
He was slow, too slow, getting back to defense. That and allowed Kraft to grow through.
And I think the same thing happened here.
Mm.
When the game was tied at 2-2 in the 88th minute, and some Bilbao player just got the ball and put it in.
Yeah. He just took off, and that was that. But there you go.
So sad.
It might be an opportunity at this point because some of the people from other podcasts were there at the game. at times. There might be an opportunity to perhaps to say thank you to a few people that have helped us.
I have nothing to say to them.
It's a bit harsh, yeah. It's a bit
okay,
harsh.
let's thank, first of all, the Hertha podcast people, which would be Hertha Base.
Yeah.
And who are the other people? I keep forgetting their names.
Damenwahl,
Micha, Steffen and Henry at Damenwahl. If your German is not as crappy as you think, just go ahead and put them into your feed. What's their names? Damenwahl? We just put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
And there's also a new Hertha podcast done by a journalist crew of Morgenpost, and it's called Immer Hertha, like the famous Hertha blog, Immer Hertha. We put this in the show notes too. But it's a good thing that we have diversity in the field, no, but Simon, help me. Diversity, you don't have one or two, but now with us.
Oh, with the podcast, there's quite a range of them.
Would be four. Four Hertha podcasts so far.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
Yes.
And of course, we have
only one English one that I know of.
What?
Only one English one.
Trendsetter.
In English.
Trendsetter. Oh, I can work on my accent.
Yes, indeed.
And well, when did you start speaking some Welsh Gaelic kind of mixture? Anywho, and we have to thank Max Jakob Ost at Rasenfunk, who helped set the whole thing. I think he helped set everything in motion somehow. Because I talked to him at the tweet pass, and you're not sure if you talked to him. You talked to somebody at the tweet pass.
Yeah.
And then we...
It wasn't cider that time that made me forget.
It wasn't cider.
No.
It was the gluten-free beer.
Gluten-free beer.
Excuse me. Anyway. And then there's the nice people at Textilvergehen, the Union podcast.
Mm.
Freunde hinter Stacheldraht. Can you say that in English?
No. Friends behind barbed wire.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Because there used to be a, I don't know how you call it in English, a fan friendship.
Yes. We have that sort of thing so much.
Between Hertha and Union.
Yeah.
And they could never see each other because of the wall.
Mm.
And then when Hertha was in some European competition, people from Union went to those games if they were in the former Warsaw Pact.
Yes, yeah, behind the Iron Curtain.
The Iron Curtain. And, of course, Hertha players went to Union games. Not Hertha players, Hertha fans went to Union games, but there weren't many because Union was always cheated out of participating in international competition.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you, everybody.
Lots of thanks, all done.
So now we're at the end of the game. What do you do next? Being in Bilbao, being slightly drunk...
Not by that stage. No.
Oh,
after the game, no, it was still all good. Came out from the stadium, still, yeah, nice and warm. Not quite as warm as it was the previous night, but still pretty balmy. And it was nice walking through the streets of Bilbao. There's loads of Athletic fans sitting in the bars and things as we were walking through. And some of them were sort of just sort of came up and sort of. They were really friendly, actually. They sort of said that, oh, you played very well in the first half and things. You had the better of it then, but it didn't go your way in the second. They were very friendly and nice people. And I'd be quite keen to go back to Bilbao. The feel of the place was really nice.
I heard they gave standing ovations to the team.
The team, yes. I mean, most of the people just sort of, you know, the stadium's largely empty. But when the Hertha players came up to the guest block, to applaud and support and what have you. There was a sizeable chunk of Bilbao fans that sort of stood up there and applauded as well. And yeah, good on them, I say. Yeah.
Yeah. We're back. This was our Tibetan custom. Okay, we're done with Bilbao. You said it's a great city. Did you go to the
Guggenheim?
Guggenheim.
I've been there before, actually, so no, I walked past it with young Nico.
Mr. Jet Set.
Yeah, but I haven't seen the rest of the town. I just driven there, went to the Guggenheim, and we took off again, so...
And you looked at the Guggenheim... Okay.
Whatever.
I'm not going to pass judgment. Okay, so Bilbao, nice city, Hertha's out. We'll talk about that situation in the group later when we talk about a little preview for... today is Wednesday, the 6th?
6th.
Nikolaus Day. That's right. Why we have this beautiful little creature right here with us. You have to look at the picture we tweeted or see if we put the whole thing on YouTube, which would be kind of boring. We both agree. Anyway, today is Wednesday. We have a game tomorrow. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. And 3 days after the loss at San Mamés Stadium, mm-hmm. Hertha traveled to Cologne.
Yes, indeedy.
Did they even travel home? I think they didn't even go home.
I think probably they would have been worth it. Probably, yeah. Did they just fly?
I just remember that they had problems flying out to Bilbao. Yeah, and Dada just said, as long as we don't miss dinner, it's all fine.
Man after my own heart.
He's so cute. Anyway, November 26th, Hertha BSC, 6 p.m. at Erste FC Köln, who are dead last in the Bundesliga standings.
Yeah, they're in a bit of bother, aren't they?
But they gave us a good beating in the cup.
Yeah, they did.
On my birthday.
Hey. Not that you're going to be bearing grudges about that at all.
No. We like Cologne. Cologne has played a role in our fan club coming together or coming into being. Thank you, Rote Böcke. And I just hope they can recover. But now after they... at the time of recording, they just fired their coach, which was... Stupid.
I'm not surprised it's happened.
I am very surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they've had a pretty bad run apart from beating Hertha. Like that.
But it's a pretty suicidal thing to do. Yeah. It says, oh, Bundesliga, that was kind of nice. Let's just go back to the second league.
They won, they won one thing going into that game with Hertha that
You mean the Bundesliga match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They allegedly they only had a squad of 14 players that were fit.
Yeah, 13 or 14, yeah.
Yeah, the commentator said 14 at the time. And one of those was this 16-year-old lad that they played in midfield.
Oh yeah, the guy from the U whatever.
I mean, you know, good on him for sort of, you know, stepping in there and going out, but with a squad of 14 players.
He was 17, Nicolas Nartey, but he only came in the 83rd minute. So he didn't play that much.
Yeah, there was somebody else that...
He's 17.
That started off. Well, perhaps the commentators were wrong.
Yes, he was wrong. They start off with Horn, Lehmann, Mere. Oh, yes, there's Jan Bissek. He was 17.
17, there you go.
Jeez.
Still...
Yeah, but then on the other hand, they had Pizarro. Oh, yes, but he didn't play.
He's about 47, isn't he?
No, he's 39. He's my age. He's 39. Don't you feel old? Yeah, did Hertha rotate much? Jahrstein. Yeah, of course, the keeper rotation was upheld. Mm-hmm. They had Jahrstein. Weiser, Langkamp, Rekic, Plattenhardt, Lecky, Meyer... Schellbrett, Mittelstädt, Ibišević, Selke, Lazaro, Turnariga. Oh, they came in. Whatever. Anyway, the good thing was that I like how they're playing with the two strikers.
Two up front, yeah. Selke,
Selke, okay. I think we raved enough about Selke so far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's going to come in a few minutes anyways. But this game somehow... I'm looking for a word, not patronize, but you know, the idea of Dade to feel them both at the same time, simultaneously, it paid off.
Yes, it hasn't always, but it certainly did this time.
In this game it did.
It certainly did, yeah.
Because Ibišević scored the first goal pretty early, right?
Yeah.
Which was an
I haven't got a time assist. For that one.
It was an assist from Zelke because he somehow touched the ball.
What I've got recorded is Platy's putting a corner across. Zelke headed it down, but he headed it at the keeper.
Accidentally.
Yeah, he didn't mean to. He was trying to shoot, wasn't he? But it came off the keeper, and Ibisevic, classic striker, was there just to poach it in.
Yeah. It was a Kaktor, as you call it in German. I mean, it was a Kaktor, but it was a good Kaktor because it was our goal.
It's a tor.
Hang on. Okay, yeah. The first goal was just a Kaktor, but that's why you have a striker like Ibisevic. Or just remember,
he was in the right place, right time, and just knocked it in, which is what you want.
And how it doesn't matter how you just somehow put that mofo in there. And
I think it initially came off his shin, and then just to make absolutely certain he booted it in, but it was more or less going over the line anyway.
And it totally reminded me of that game, that goal by Zelke in Wolfsburg, when he somehow touched the ball and it went against the knee or some body part of the keeper of Koen Casteers, and then he somehow just. He kept pushing, and the ball somehow went in. That's what you want on a striker.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I think that Zelke and Ibisevic are more. They have more options than the Kalou Ibisevic tandem.
Mm.
Zelke just being bigger and younger and stronger.
Different kind of player.
Of course, really. Different kind of player. But I think it's going to be. Not benevolent, but. It's going to be it's a good symbiosis for both of them.
Mm. It'll be beneficial to the club.
Beneficial. Not to them, I mean. Because I think Ibisevic now has somebody. Ibisevic always had to be the guy who's shielding off the ball and then giving it to someone.
Yeah, holding it up and then.
Yeah, and now you have two players who can do the same thing.
Mm. Mm.
Yes. Well, so we were up one pretty early. I seem to remember. And then
it was sort of fairly early on, yeah.
Yeah.
Felt fairly comfortable through most of that game.
Unless Cologne had the ball.
if it hadn't been for Timo Horn,
would have been over.
He would have been. I mean, would have been their best player by a country mile, I would have.
The first goal was Ibisevic at the 17th.
17th minute.
17th minute, yes. And then the game went, I think, both ways.
Hmm.
Hertha had some chances, but also Cologne had... I think in the end, Cologne had more shots than Hertha.
Hmm.
But then we somehow... I think isn't it always... I have this gut feeling that... what the coaching staff tells the players is, okay, first half, don't concede a goal, and if you score a goal, good. If not, in German you say the zero has to stand.
Yeah.
Which is a very old manager cliche. But it's so they went into halftime 1-0, which was...
That'll come up later on, I think.
What? The cliches?
In a later match about the zero having to stand. But
Oh, yes.
Or not, as the case may be.
I just hate losses.
It'd be nice if we won all the
time. Okay, the 64th minute, Zelke had the ball. And, I mean, Zelke's kind of huge. He's
a big lad.
190-something,
mm-hmm.
close to 2 metres. But he's still fairly fast for his size. And he had the ball near the box. And Matthias Lehmann thought, maybe I'll just challenge him, see what happens. It was one of those penalties where you could say it's a 50-50 penalty. Because, of course, he hit the ball, but he also hit the player.
yes.
And the
that bit of it was good. But
the glorious
the player, less good.
The glorious referee, Bibiana Steinhaus.
I love her.
She's my favorite referee. And it doesn't have to do anything with her gender. It's just she's a good referee.
She is a good ref, actually. She is. Yes.
She's a police woman, too.
She is. Yes.
Oh, and do you know who she's dating?
No, curiously.
Howard Webb.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because Sky, the Sky Germany, the formerly sports network, which now does mainly the Suns kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Berlin when she refereed the Werder Bremen game. And I know this from Colinas Erben. Colinas Erben is the only refereeing podcast there is, and it's really great. And if you have any command of German, look, check them out and listen to their episodes, because it's really interesting. You learn a lot about the game. Anyway, 64th minute penalty.
Yep.
And who goes for the ball? It's Vidad. And I was like, oh no.
But, oh yay.
Yeah, was it? I think the goalie didn't even... He wasn't even close to getting it, right?
Yeah,
it
was a good one.
It was a good one. And then Hertha was up 2-0. And I think, the way I remember from then, the game just went
on
and nothing happened. I think Hertha had a few more chances, but then also, I think in the end, Cologne really pushed.
Mm-hmm.
But Rune saved us again, as he always does, right? And...
The thing that I remember out of it in some ways, I mean, apart from the fact that we won and the goals for us is Timo Horn saving them. He had a really good game. And Cologne would be in even more trouble than they are now if it wasn't for him.
Yeah. Hard to imagine, but...
It would be hard to imagine. Was it 3 points in 14 games?
I think right now they have 4 points because...
4 points?
Because before Cologne fired Peter Stöger, they managed a tie at Schalke.
Oh, yes.
Which was pretty good. And I figured, okay, why fire him now when
they might have turned the corner. Who knows?
Of course they're going to turn the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they're the only team that not the only team, but they won a game, and they're the only team still in contention for getting past the group stage in the Europa League.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
But hey, these things happen.
So Hertha won the game, and even Kicker, who is not very Hertha friendly, said that Hertha deserved to win that one.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite stat, distance covered. They had an awesome game. Okay, the average for this season is 114 kilometers for the team. And it was the third best so far, where they ran 117.76 kilometers.
Mm.
Which, compared to the last game we have to talk about, is more than 5 kilometers more than they ran against Frankfurt. Mm. And because...
It's a good indication of the amount of work.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, if you have the ball 80% of the time, you don't run as much. The team without the ball has to run.
Well, that's
to cover and close. Yeah.
But if you're not bothering to try to chase it, then you're not covering the distance.
How about we try if we can manage to talk about the Frankfurt game for only 2 minutes?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that game anyway.
Yeah, but we have to, right? I mean,
we do. I know we do.
Do we have to? The good news after this game, Hertha had 17 points after the Cologne game, and we were 12th, which is far away from that zone we want to stay away from.
Yeah.
And the game against Frankfurt, match day 14, was actually a game that was in the media represented as being a match that will show the way into the future. Are we in the top tier or are we in midfield?
Right.
And now it's your turn to talk about that stupid game. You have 2 minutes. What? You want a hand? Okay, you want your notes, sorry.
Oh. Cheers, yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, it started off well enough, isn't it? People were...
It was a home game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember the last time...
You were there.
Yeah, but the last time you said, the Gladbach game, I was at home.
I just got completely muddled up about that one, eh? Whatever. Anyway, so it started
too
off well.
Too many games.
The first sort of 15, 16 minutes or so...
25 minutes.
Had to really all over them like a rash, really, weren't they? And it was, yeah, really quite impressive. We thought, oh, you know, we're going to be in here. And indeed, we scored the first goal. So it was a sort of pass coming in from Lecky, and Selke, yet again, was there to...
Do his thing,
and he was there on the end of the ball, bang, and it went.
And which one was that? How did it happen? I keep forgetting. The thing is, ever since we had the video assistant referee, I always look at the referee and at his assistants, and I miss some ecstasy time because I first look at everything and see if the goal counts.
Yes.
Because if the referee just tips, somehow holds his finger to his ear, you know, okay, shit.
Very, very mindful of that when we're watching a game now. Yeah, the thing about putting your finger to ear, yes.
But it was a nice goal scored with authority.
Yeah.
The way he does.
Yeah.
And things look good. And then, as Dada said...
The trouble is, after that goal, the whole rhythm of the game changed completely, didn't it?
It should be the way that when you score a goal, you get more confident, and things start happening, everything starts gelling and clicking.
Because you've got a little bit of buffer, you can push ahead to get another one and bury it. But it didn't happen like that, did it?
I read this one tweet by Mark Schwitzky from Hertha Base. He said, how do you stop Hertha BSC? Let them score a goal.
Yeah. It's almost as if, you know, something just switched off.
Yeah, Dada was also at the post-game conference. He was pretty, I don't know what happens. We just, everything goes well and then we just stop playing. Stupid.
Which is, you know, quite depressing from a home fan's perspective.
But at this game, it was the first... I got this feeling that when they conceded the goal, I felt nothing. I felt, oh, that was quite a good variant they played there. It was a corner kick, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a corner kick back out into space. You know, well in front of the penalty area. Was it Wolf? I think it was Wolf.
I don't know. But
anyway, Frankfurt player, you know, came hurtling in towards it. It was a set piece. It was pre-prepared, wasn't it? And he just absolutely thunderbolted it into the net. It was a very impressive goal. It's a shame.
It was impressive, but it was also...
Shame it wasn't ours.
It was one of those goals where you can say, okay, if he does this the same thing 20 times, he's going to hit two into the net. He just went balls in and poof, the thing went in.
It did.
Also because I think Jarstein didn't get a good visual because there were all these players.
There were a lot of people around. Yeah, in between... him and where the ball was, and it was a thunderbolt coming in.
But then this goal came from nothing. I think there was one chance before that. It wasn't even a real chance by Cologne, by Frankfurt. Yeah, so we were tied again. So I was hoping for another Bilbao moment where they would just get the ball back and score, but they would not let that happen.
No.
So Hertha's game went flat. I think they were still trying, but maybe it was also... Part was Hertha not somehow losing their rhythm, but the other part was that Frankfurt really got confident after that one, the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Then we went into halftime and scored a tied in one.
Yep.
I remember feeling kind of, okay, we can still do this.
Yeah. It was all square. I mean,
maybe.
What hopefully was going to happen at that point was that they were going to come out again after half time. Dardai would have, you know, given a good talking to, and they'd come out,
put the fear of God Almighty into their hearts.
That's the thing, yeah. But it didn't work out that way, really. I mean, it does sometimes. I mean, there have been occasions where I had to have come out after half time and
yeah,
a different feel to it, but not this time.
I think also Wiedmeier, co-manager or what you want to call it, I don't know, assistant, but he's more he's the guy who's in charge of the tactics.
Yeah.
Is tactics the right word, or is it more strategy? I'm not sure about this, and I haven't played FIFA in such a long
time. I don't think I've ever played FIFA.
Okay,
yeah, I guess it would be tactics.
We can stop here and play some FIFA if you want
to.
Yeah, I mean, they sometimes do little adjustments at halftime, which really
changed the whole game.
Yeah. Not this time.
But then we didn't have much left on the bench that could have helped us apart for Lazzaro and Eswein, who both were subbed in.
Mm.
Oh, and they put in Lustenberger. For Meyer, I guess? I don't know. Anyway,
Meyer definitely went off, but whether it was for
Hertha couldn't get the ball into the hot zone anymore. They had some chances, but then in those instances they were missing the luck, or I don't know what you call it, but there was no...
The rub of the green.
I keep forgetting that one. You have to make me a list of cliches. Yeah, they didn't have... I think there were two... There was one shot by Selke and this one great shot by Lustenberger.
Lustenberger. Mm.
And I think one little or two little things from Eswein, but that's about it.
Yeah.
They were losing...
The shot from Lustenberger, if he had pulled that one off, that would have been... Because he has scored ones like that before.
And the game was tied at that point.
Yeah.
The game was still tied, and that would have... I think it's... Was clear that the
could have tipped the balance that if he'd scored that goal. But
the team that's going to score the second goal was going to win it. But I think, what I thought was that by the 75th, 80th minute, we were all happy with the tie. But then, maybe I shouldn't have wished for a Berlin player to score because Kevin Prince Boateng was born in Berlin and went through the youth academy at Hertha. Or what was an academy back then. He played for the youth teams. Yeah. And he scored a Kaktor.
Yeah.
And the only good thing I can say is that he didn't celebrate.
He didn't celebrate, which is classy.
Yeah. So he's so much better than his brother. What an asshole. Femurin. Yeah. So they somehow, some ball. It was so stupid. It wasn't even good. It was just some ball and he somehow kicked it and it somehow went in. It was just shitty.
Well, somebody else, I don't know who it was, I think they headed it down and it landed near him. He just turned, swung around, bang.
I think it was Weiser.
Hoofed it in.
Is Stark still injured?
He hasn't played for a while.
Long time, yeah.
Not sure.
Who knows?
Anyway. Right, what else are we talking about?
Game over.
Done, yep.
Okay, that was 4 minutes. Still.
Can that one.
I'll cut some out. Anyways, what we also have on our list for today is us going to see Hertha 2, the under-23.
Under-23s.
Which was at the Amateur Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fairly close to Olympiastadion.
Yeah, yes, it's.
If you go to the what do you call the Geschäftsstelle in English?
It's like the head. It's like the head office.
Yeah, from the head office to the training ground, you just walk.
Just keep on walking along that road.
A bit on, if it's not Fan-Trennung like last time. Yeah. So on Sunday, a little group of intrepid Axel Kruse fans, Axel Kruse Jugend fans, met, and we went to the match day 18. To the match on match day 18th in the Regionalliga Nordost, which would be the regional
Northeast League.
I think it's fourth league.
Yes.
And Hertha played Lok Leipzig,
mm-hmm.
one of the traditional clubs in Leipzig, unlike those other
fizzy pop sort of clubs.
One love. Yeah, and the game started. Jeez. Oh, I think they conceded a goal pretty fast. They were down 1-0, and then they scored. And they were pretty.
It gave me an opportunity to send my traditional tweet on these occasions where I just say poo.
Ah! I thought it's more about your bowel movement.
Not in the stadium, no.
4 stones. Consistency pretty. Oh, anywho.
Yes.
It's such a different... I have to admit it was my first under-23 game.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually on the weekends we go to games once and then we just poop around.
If the weather's nicer than it was on Saturday...
You had 2 jackets!
Yeah, I was fine. I was toasty.
Simon the Northerner had two jackets. You send your way off shop. Your wife went shopping, or something?
Yeah, she was quite happy going off shopping. But if the weather's nicer than it was on Saturday, she'll come along as well. So I've been to quite a few of these games.
I had so much fun. I met the guys from Fanbetreuung. I met some friends from Hertha für alle, and of course Manne Sange, who is a. How would you describe Manne Sange to people listening from England? Is there a
term? Is it a blog?
No, no.
Or the podcast?
No, it's not a podcast. It's a radio show.
It's a radio show.
It's a one-hour radio show. It's been on since
1989, I think you told me at the time.
1989, yes. And they're doing a broadcast, an hour-long broadcast every other week. Not other week, but every 2 weeks, every 14 days.
Mm.
They're doing a one-hour broadcast on the public radio station.
Cool.
Called Alex. And they're very well connected. They always send somebody to the press conferences. Somebody is in the mix zone and does some interviews. Somebody always goes to the cooling off. You know, after a game, the next day they either have the day off or they go there just to
get
a
little. Yeah, I know what you mean.
What
you would call that?
In German, it's called Auslaufen. You know,
I don't know if there's an English word for it. Really? Yeah. I do know what you mean.
So it's basically they're just running around.
It's gentle training just to...
Yeah, to loosen up.
Yeah.
Limbering up and then stopping. It's called cooling down, and the German translation would be cooling down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they go there and sometimes get some quotes from Dardai or someone else. So going back to the Regionalliga game, they lost that one.
It's worth pointing out that there's a totally different feel to going to a lower league
amateur games.
In that you're much, much closer to the players.
Oh, yes. Those games, they're a bit like I remember from my short and not very successful football career. I was in the E-youth, which would be first or second grade.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared of the ball. I always ran away. And we were playing on one of those...
AstroTurf?
No, not AstroTurf. Ash.
Oh, right.
So I was always scared of being hurt and everything, and I never liked it. But what's the same feeling? You have these moms, some people who sit there, then somebody sells beer, or in this case, malt wine, coffee, soft drinks for, I think, a quarter of the price you pay at the Olympiastadion.
Yeah.
And it's better. Except for the one I bought because I...
The mulled wine was quite nice. It's what, 2 euros?
I wouldn't know.
It was
150 or something.
It's okay.
Really nice. And you're very close to the game. Oh, and this one was a high-risk game because Lok Leipzig has a bad reputation for violent fans and clashes and whatnot.
There was a band of about 30 or so ultras turned up.
Ah, 15.
Ah, it was more than that. I counted them.
Anyway, we had to go through a different entrance than the other people.
That's normal, though.
And then about 30 policemen came up,
yes.
each having an ultra from Leipzig at their hands.
Pretty much, yeah. As many policemen as there were ultras.
It was pretty Monty Python-esque. Yeah, and then they started chanting. Yeah, and I think Hertha 2... dominated throughout the game. My wife was complaining, I think at least 90 minutes, if not 95 minutes, she was complaining about Sinan Kurt non-stop. He has the movement radius of 5 meters. Because he's so... I don't know. He moves like Ronnie.
I didn't really notice him that much, to be honest.
Yeah, because he didn't do much.
Yeah, well, that would be it.
Yeah, that would be it. The players I liked were Pronichev, who used to go... He was at the academy, then he went somewhere else, and now he just came back, and he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And number 14, Ugur. And... Oh, and the guy who came in the 70th minute, or 60th minute, who was really good. Anyway, to make the whole story short, Hertha was up 2-1, right? Or was down 1-2?
Down 1-2, I think.
Yeah, because of really horrifying mistakes, or what would you call that?
Yeah, horrifying. Just horrible mistakes.
Mm. At one point, the center back had the ball. Instead of just losing it, he tried this little maneuver and lost the ball. And poor Jonathan Klinsmann...
always looks terrible if it doesn't.
Yes,
if you mess it up, it's just embarrassing.
It was so unnecessary. And then poor Jonathan Klinsmann just had no chance at all. And the same thing happened again a bit later when... Oh yeah, Nico Bayer, who is also... I think he's part of the pro... help me. Kader pro... Pro...
I don't know
team.
What
he, he has a pro contract.
He's got a pro contract. So.
And I think he was on the squad for some time. Squad.
I thought he had played for the main team.
I think he played 2 minutes or something last season or something like that. Okay. Yeah, and he was just... he was close to midfield and passing, tried to pass the ball back to his goalie, but somehow the ball fell asleep halfway through. And another goal was scored. So Hertha lost 2-3 to Lok Leipzig.
Another interesting thing about those games, you try to skip past the result as quickly as possible, is that the players and things will come up. They didn't actually in this game, unless I missed it. They'll come along and they'll, you know, if people want to, they can sort of high-five them as they go along to the edge of the pitch. And also there was a guy that came up with a... I think it was a little girl, I think it was.
Number 14.
Yeah.
I think he talked to his parents.
And he came along, and that's quite, quite sweet.
I think it was his parents and his daughter or maybe his sister.
Or wouldn't like to say, but that was all quite nice. Yeah. Very different sort of feel than sort of visiting the Olympic
It's like
Stadium.
The non... what's it called? Is it called Non-Pro Day? This one thing once a year where some guy from Britain organized the whole thing and now people just go to non-professional games. Day of the Amateur, something like that.
Oh.
It just happened in October or something like that.
Right, okay.
I'll look it up. If I find it, it will be in the show notes. If not, not. Okay, now we're done with the games. Coming up tomorrow, we have the last Europa League game at home against Östersund FK. Are they through yet? I'm not exactly sure.
I think they must be, surely.
Yeah, but Bilbao still has a chance. Because if we had won against Bilbao, we would still have a good chance to be in. So if Bilbao won the game, they have 3 points.
Yeah.
You go ahead and talk about the game. Are you going?
I'm certainly am going, yes. I would have been to 4 out of the 6 of the Europa League games. So I'm going there hoping the weather's going to be kind to us.
And you have these new guys sitting next to you.
Ooh, yes. They're Spanish-speaking, but they're Central American, aren't they?
It's the Latino section of Axel Kruse Jugend. Pablo from Ecuador and Juan from Colombia.
Colombia.
Who was a fan of the Millonarios, the Millionaires, which is a team from Bogota, the capital, and they were blue and white. So he moved here for, I don't know, whatever reason. Maybe just sheer stupidity or something like that.
Yes, yes.
It's way too warm over there.
He didn't realise what the weather was like. So
we're so mean. No, they're really nice guys. They came to the Frankfurt game and we got them some tickets and they're going to be there. I think almost my entire family is going to be there. They're all flying in from Munich and Frankfurt to see the last Europa League match.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to go out in style. And now I jinxed it.
Yes. You and your big mouth. I don't know. You're going to ruin it for everybody.
That's what I do. Okay. I'm trying to look at the table, but I can't find it. I just know that we are dead last.
Yeah. It's been a blast, though, so.
Yeah, we had bad luck. We had the problem with the referees, I would say. Somehow. Right? I mean, you could say it didn't all go pretty well. And we had some, not only the 2 conceded penalties, but also we conceded penalties that were totally stupid. Like the one against Luhansk, was it? Where he gave a penalty that was nothing.
Mm.
And then he didn't give us a penalty when it was clearly a handball in the box.
We definitely didn't get the rubber of the green that time.
Group J, that word, rub of the green. Where is our group? I can't find the group. Ah! Okay, so it's going to be the last game. We're going to... What's your prediction?
God, I reckon we'll take them.
Hmm?
I reckon we'll take them.
Mm-hmm.
2-1.
4-0.
Nah! I hate making predictions. I'm always hopeless.
4-0, and Kraft will at least...
score in the 89th minute.
No. Why would you being up 3-0 go...
Jeez.
No wonder you never win the World Cup. Losing to Iceland. Anyway, I think Hertha will, you know, have this standesgemäß, you know, like, it's a good farewell. And I think not being promoted, but being, you know, being eliminated is also good in a way, because the young players, you know, they saw the promised land and they got kicked out, and now they want it even more.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
You know, it might take some of the pressure off, knowing that they are out of it anyway, so perhaps they'll just go out and play a natural game. Who knows? We'll see.
But if things had gone a little bit different, we would have easily advanced. And I mean, look at Bilbao, you know?
If it wasn't for pretty stupid penalties, we could have won in Bilbao easily.
Oh, just imagine if Zelke had not been injured, he would have been playing the way he plays now. In the from the first game on, he would now probably have 10 goals.
Mm.
Mr. Europa Cup.
But hey. Right, what else do we have?
From last episode, we had so many games to talk about.
We had quite a few this time.
Yeah, but we only had 3 Hertha 1 matches and 1 Hertha 2. Anywho, not wasting time. We had these fan topics, because we figured that people following Hertha from abroad would... not have many ways of knowing about these things, because it's... I think there's no English...
One of the things that attracts English people anyway, and perhaps Americans as well, to come to our...
games?
Our games here is the atmosphere generated...
from the full stadium.
From perhaps not a full stadium, but certainly, for the most part, from the Ostkurve and the Ultra groups and what have you there.
Mm-hmm.
So having a bit of background knowledge about what's going on with a fan scene can be, you know, perhaps an interesting thing.
Okay, and what are the things I have written down from last week?
One of the things is about a stadium ban that was dished out.
dished out
to one of the capos.
There you go.
The capos being the people that lead the singing, the chanting, and what have you in the Ostkurve.
Yes. Why?
Because You might not be able to see from the TV, but
around the moat.
The moat. The moat, as it's affectionately known as around here. The in between the crowd and the running track, there's a huge great sort of concrete trench, which indeed if it was filled with water it would be a moat, I guess.
And some alligators.
Yes, a few alligator piranha perhaps. Except for a bit chilly for piranha. But one of the capos, I can't remember which game it was, jumped down into said moat.
Not only him, but some people.
There was a bunch of people.
It was the Cologne Cup game.
Was it?
Maybe that's why you don't remember, because you...
Yeah, biked it out. but anyway, he ran around this moat to try to go and have a talk to Dardai and crew.
A very clever thing to do.
And not really. And for the privilege, he got a stadium ban for the season.
Not the season. He got the stadium ban for the what do you call it? First leg or before?
Oh, is it? It's just the Hinrunde.
No. But he'll be on. What's the thing? If you,
I don't know what you mean.
If you commit a crime, and they,
he's on probation.
He's on probation for the Rückrunde. So he should be back.
So he's back after the winter break.
But the thing is, he can't attend any Hertha games, so he couldn't go to Bilbao, he couldn't go to Cologne.
Yeah.
And I think he wrote a letter to the fans in the, what do you call that, Ostkurven Magazine? It's a piece of paper.
It's like a pamphlet, isn't it?
It's a pamphlet passed out at the games.
Yeah. So, did you notice any change in the support? Because some people on other podcasts have said that it was, it sounded less loudly or less coordinated, you know?
Perhaps, but not markedly so. I wouldn't know. One thing that's perhaps in that kind of thing, having the people that lead the singing, the chanting, the jumping, it was quite hard work for people in Bilbao, because in the Olympiastadion they have microphones and megaphones and such like, and they didn't have anything like that in Bilbao at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just having to stand there, do the best that they could, just with their sort of natural voice, which was, you know, quite hard work for them. But mm-hmm. they did a remarkable job under the circumstances, I would say.
Yeah, but then you also had a lot, lots of Hertha fans compared to other away games.
Mm. It was pretty packed. Well, so you were wandering around Bilbao. You were seeing Hertha fans all over the place, really. I mean, I think there were supposed to be 3,000 people that had made the trip there, but it felt like more. Yes. Every time you turned a corner in Bilbao, there was another, you know, small group of Hertha fans wandering around the place.
And they were all pretty peaceful, right?
Yeah, well, there was one little thing after the match. As we came out. I don't know actually what happened.
Nobody knows.
It suddenly a whole bunch of people wearing black all sort of took off into the distance, chasing after something or other. I don't know, perhaps they saw a bar that said free beer outside it or something, I don't know. But
I read on one of the chats that at some point some of the very martial looking policemen.
Oh yeah.
Started running somewhere, and that's all most people know.
Well, I saw there was a bunch of Hertha people that went running off.
Yeah, yeah.
Away from the entrance. What they were running towards, really don't know.
But free beer sounds pretty sensible.
That would have done it.
For me.
It would have been a stampede. Yeah. I'm sure perhaps that's all it was. That's my theory anyway.
Yeah, so the stadium band for Kreisel, as he is known, somehow makes the relationship between club and ultras even
tense.
Even tenser than it was before.
Yeah.
Can you say tenser?
I'm not sure.
More tense.
Doesn't sound right.
But I learned in school.
Increase the tension.
Yeah, so
between club and cub and
the relationship ultras has soured even more.
Mm-hmm.
And what's next on the fan agenda? Oh, I put it away.
You have.
La 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 la. You attended your first members meeting.
I did.
Yeah.
I didn't have a focused idea what was going on, really, to be quite honest. But it was interesting to go to.
But you had so much fun.
Yeah, it was. Glad I went.
Tell the other fans about what is it like? Where does it take place? Your whole.
It's in the exhibition hall, the Messe. I've forgotten which hall it was. Within that,
17, I guess.
It's 17, yeah, hall 17. But they dished out little vouchers and what have you, so you can have a free frankfurter with some potato salad and a drink.
We have to say that the dining experience is always organized by Hertha's not bowling but the other sports. Like bowling.
Table tennis.
No.
Table tennis.
No Kegel.
Yeah. That's more like Skittles. What
Skittles? Skittles? For the things you eat?
No.
The fruity ones?
Well, it is that as well, but it's like a wooden ball with, I think it's 9 wooden pins.
No, 9 pins is bowling. The other pins is 12 or 11.
Is it 12?
Or 10, I don't know.
But I have seen it, and it looks more akin to what in England they would call Skittles. I have no idea what they would call it in America. So it was
anyway,
organized by
them. You get free food. No, you get coupons. And then you
have to go in with your membership card or your season ticket with membership on it. You have to show that, and you get a little plastic bracelet to put on, like you're going on a all-inclusive holiday somewhere.
So cute.
Except for the food isn't quite like an all-inclusive holiday, but you make use of it anyway. Jan was very rude and went and got a drink for Axel Kruse and didn't get one for his wife. So I had to give my vouchers to Jan's wife, being the creepy little crawler that I am.
Who's that old man? He's looking at me.
Who's that old duffer?
Duffer?
Right. What's happening now?
What? So what happened? We had... I don't remember. The good thing is we talked to Axel.
That was quite nice.
Axel Kruse, who is the...
Shake his hand.
Can you say patron? No.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, sort of.
Or the godfather.
I don't know what the relationship is. I mean, the name of the fan club is all sort of hinged around him.
The good thing about being the Axel Kruse Jugend, we can talk to our idol. And Axel is a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And we met outside during some boring part of the meeting, which they had a lot of. I think it was the report from the table tennis.
that would have been a good time to go out.
Yeah, so we met and had a drink and took a nice picture, which we will put in the show notes, which you will put in the show notes. And then he talked. He talked about his American football career.
Yeah, because when he finished playing football, he went on to... I don't know much about American football, to be honest.
Kicker.
He was a kicker.
He was a kicker for Berlin Thunder, the NFL Europe team. And
he's a specialist kicker, so he just that's
on
just
special
what he does.
Teams. So all he did was do the extra kicks.
Right.
He's not even a punter, he's just the place kicker. It's called the place kicker, and he won 2 World Bowl championships.
He must have been quite good at it then.
He said, you know, it's a bit different than a real football ball, but this little eggy thing, which is smaller than the rugby thingy. What do you call the rugby thingy?
A ball.
It's called a ball. The Empire. I rest my case. No, but once you learn how to kick it, it's for a soccer player, it's easy. Football player. So he told us some funny stories about his time there. Yeah, it was all in good fun. I think everybody had quite some fun.
It's good that he comes along like that, because he doesn't have to.
I think he's always also pretty... do you say engaged? He's very active in the Förderkreis Ostkurve, which is the...
it's the umbrella organisation for
everybody from who's in the Ostkurve, the fan section, fan stand. And you can become a member for $20 a year, and then you support the choreos they do. Yeah, and he's pretty active there. Which I think is good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
And I think he's not the person who would take a real position with the club, because he's much too outspoken for that. Which is a good thing, I think. Mm. Okay, and then we had the OFC meeting, which is, I think, pretty boring to everybody. We're just not gonna... I went there with our friend Ines. The good thing was it was at the Olympiastadion and I couldn't go to the game, so we met at the Olympiastadion at 8:30 a.m. or something like that, or 9 a.m. and then we went into the
head office.
Not the head office, no, we went into the stadium.
Oh, actually into the stadium.
And then we walked for hours and hours and downstairs, upstairs, downstairs, and then we came to this one room which they actually...
That explains Ines's avatar picture on Twitter. She's walking down...
That was on the way back to the... Because we all had to get out afterwards. You couldn't stay inside.
Yeah.
So Ines actually went home to change because she was too cold. And I dropped her off at Gesundbrunnen. Have you been to the new Gesundbrunnen with the
mural?
With the memorial?
Yeah.
And the mural?
Yeah, it's nice.
I have to go because I didn't have time back then. Yeah.
I took a picture of the...
of the new wall.
Yeah.
The wallsy thing.
It's quite impressive.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Oh, Simon, did you check your Twitter? Did anybody respond to our tweets?
I didn't.
I was so happy about the likes it got, and then it was all just from you and me. And my wife and my brother-in-law.
Oh, well.
Let me just check real quick, but I don't think anybody... We just put on Twitter that we're going to record...
and ask people for input or
you
questions.
You didn't, I retweeted it.
We all retweeted it like shh, crazy. Oh, we have a new follower.
Woo!
Which makes it 32. Ooh. Jeez.
Ooh.
We're fame. Young Nico, who's at Fidanaza on Twitter, said that there's absolutely nothing tacky about those hats. Timeless classics. Oh no, Sir Henry said that.
Good old Henry.
No, there were no questions. But of course, why would we get questions about a show nobody's ever heard?
No.
Yeah, maybe we should address the elephant in the room. Why is nothing online yet?
I'll blame the technical director for this.
I'll blame the CTO, which I motion to be Simon right now.
Okay.
Anyway, we're working hard on putting it online, and we're very close. We're just one FTP password away. Frustrating. So, do you have anything in your pages of notes?
No. I'm good.
Okay. So we're still under 90 minutes, so we're within the parameters defined by the CTO and the chief, whatever. Game tomorrow, a Sunday game at Augsburg, which is always a shit game.
Mm.
I went there once and they scored one goal on a penalty in the 80-somethings minute.
I'll be working, so I'll not be able to see that one.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
My phone will be pinging all the time if anything happens.
It's not going to ping. Unless you have bookings in there. It's going to be a sad 1-1, 1-0, 0-1, not 1.
0-1 would be nice.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll see.
At least we won the stupid game in Cologne, which is unheard of for Hertha. Especially after the last game against Cologne, which no one remembers. This was the last week. Oh, no, we don't. We have another English week.
Can you explain
the English week to Englishmen and women?
Well, in England, everybody's used to sort of having games during the course of the week. It just what happens. But in Germany, it's comparatively unusual to have a midweek game, like on a Wednesday night or
Wednesday night,
whatever.
Or Tuesday if it's
so over here, they're called English weeks.
Germans are crybabies. Yeah, but I think how many teams are in the Premier League?
I have no idea. Not a clue.
Because we only have 18. I think England has more teams, and that's why you have to have more match days.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have one more.
There's an extra cup for them to worry about.
You have two cups.
That's just greedy, isn't it?
It's just stupid. Decide already. I mean, it's one of the FA Cup and the other is the League Cup?
Or? It's constantly changing the name.
Yeah, but you have two different cups.
Two different cups.
Do the winners then meet somewhere?
Two totally separate. There's no equivalent like a Super Cup kind of thing.
We have a Super Cup which nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. We have a Hanover game coming up pretty soon on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's pretty soonish.
That's next Wednesday.
And then we're almost...
Isn't it?
We have Leipzig away.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
The bad thing is we're going to have the last game of the season. It's going to be stupid Leipzig in our Wohnzimmer.
I did float the idea of people going to Leipzig to watch that, but I was firmly told that I'm not going to give a single cent to that club.
Oh, there was Nico. And he's right.
Yeah, I guess he probably is.
But we were planning to do an away game of the Hertha too. They're playing in Fürstenwalde soon.
Oh.
On the 16th, I guess. 16th of December.
Saturday.
Saturday. You'll be home.
Yeah, right? I'll be in England then.
Yeah. So we're planning to drive, I think it's a 90-minute drive to Fürstenwalde. Oh. And we were thinking about supporting.
Well, that'd be really good.
Still looking for places to buy pyrotechnics and the like. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I'm jealous.
Okay, now we've been filling minutes with just blah blah babble.
Yeah.
Which is actually what we do as a whole.
But we just waffle on.
Did you have fun? Waffle?
Waffle.
Now I'm hungry. Did you have fun, Simon? Anything you want to say? Feelings to share?
No, I feel like another biscuit. Does that count?
Go ahead.
I will. Anyway, shall we call that a wrap?
It's a good night.
And it's good night from him.
We work on that. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.